Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of The Last of Us. And this is
the last of us coverage.
Finishing our coverage.
For now.
Joel Miller will return. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Devin.
I panicked.
We just finished watching the finale of season one of The Last of Us on HBO Max. We came straight over to the microphones. That's a lie. I stopped off to pee, but we didn't watch the discussion with Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann. We don't watch, listen to the podcast, the official podcast on HBO or anything like that. We just bring all of our dumb brain, smooth brain shit straight to you. Genuine.
That's what you're here for, is smooth brain shit.
Smooth brain shit. Yeah.
That's
reptile
what,
brain.
That's what the people are coming for.
Well, they've just watched the credits of us being clicker chickens, most likely. So
yeah,
if you're on YouTube.
We were doing that motion, and really, like, as we were doing it, we all kind of came to the realization, like, we're just being chickens.
But yeah, I mean, we just finished watching it. You're going to hear, we'll go through our overall thoughts for a couple of minutes each.
Yeah.
And then dive through our play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap.
Yeah.
And then finish it off with our top three favorite moments, our favorite fireflies, is what we call them. And then a segment we call Bullets and Pills.
Pills, baby!
Where we talk about Easter eggs that might not have been as obvious, you might not know, from the game. And then end it all. It's not that serious. With our outbreak performance, our favorite performance from the episode, we'll go around the table and decide who we're voting for, who we're giving the streamy to. And that's it. That'll be all she wrote for now. We're going to be doing a mailbag next week. So send in your questions, comments, and different points of view for The Last of Us TV show to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com. To become a part of that conversation, you very well might have your email featured on the show and a discussion from us about that email.
Yeah.
Read it together. We might just make fun of it the whole time. Oh, look at the grammar errors. Holy shit. Never that. We appreciate all of you.
I'm going to send myself an email.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. We get tons of emails already, so those are already in the running, and there's way too many good ones for us to read them all, but we'll do our best to get through them and create some content for you. We know how you guys love content. You're like clickers and trying to... I didn't know how to keep that going.
Content? What if that's all the infected are looking for? They just want more content.
That's right.
Every infected you see running after someone, they're like, "Can, do you have games on your phone?" That's like what they're doing.
Let's
hold on real quick, guys. This is the last week. This is the final week, right? This is the end of our Last of Us coverage. So that means one thing and one thing only. This is your final week to go on the Streaming Things store and purchase our Last of Us shirts. That's right. You have one last week to get a Pills Baby shirt or a It's Tony Time shirt.
It's Tony Time to buy it.
They're limited run. So get them now because this is the last week you can purchase them. So don't be late.
The last of merch.
Don't be late purchasing my shirt, you scamps.
That's right.
Tony, that's very offensive. Why would you call people scamps?
You can't say that anymore.
You're as good of a salesman as you are a sniper.
I'm old. I don't give a shit anymore.
That's fair. Very clear.
I spent my youth being nice and look where it got me.
Yeah, you just sat in that room.
By myself. Being a real pot shot. Not a hot shot, a pot shot.
You tried. But I bet everybody...
I couldn't hit the floor if I fell on it.
They need us right now, Steve. They need therapy after that episode. They want to hear it. Let's get into the meat, meat and taters.
Let's do it.
Let's dive right in. Jimmy, what did you think of the finale? I know you were worried.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely relieved. I was pretty nervous about how much they had to cram into such a short episode. 40 minutes, I think, was the runtime. And I think they hit it out of the park. They did such an incredible job cramming very powerful moments into 40 minutes of television. And we learned some new stuff, too. I was really excited to see, the origin of Ellie or why she's immune. They never really get to that in the game. I was just overall, I was ecstatic at the end. You know, I was really happy with Pedro's performance and just, them really hitting home on the major plot points that I was worried they were going to miss in this episode. And they fucking killed it. I think the whole season was great. So I'm very happy to see what happens next.
Mr. Steve.
Leading up to this episode was kind of a strange journey. A couple people have messaged me today like, "Oh my gosh, are you excited for the Last of Us finale?" And every time someone would message me that, I had to take a beat because in my mind, I would always think like, it doesn't feel like it's the finale time. Right. It doesn't feel, even though like if you go by the...
It's because it's Tony time.
It's Tony time, motherfuckers. even if you go by the beats of the game, it would make sense this would be the last episode. But even still, there was something about, the way we consume media, maybe the way that we do this show. I don't know. There's something about it. I'm like, it doesn't feel like it's the season finale. It doesn't feel time. I'm not ready. I don't want to go. And but then this episode aired. And I want to echo what Jimmy said a bit. Like, there were things that they added in this episode that I think expands the lore of The Last of Us in a great way. I was very happy with the stuff they added. We'll get into that a bit. There is one key part towards the middle of the episode that I wish they would have expanded on more. And that's not a slight against the show because I also wanted the game to expand on this very specific thing more. But this episode is so faithful to that last part of the game. It's almost like the bullets and pills. It's like, I don't know, watch the fucking episode.
Yeah.
Because it's all there. But I was kind of hoping, my hope for the show to be different from the game was that in one very specific part, and we'll talk to it when we get there, they would have expanded on a little bit, not a lot, like maybe add like one or two more pages of script and that's all I would have needed. That's not to say that it's bad. I do think that they succeed in this episode. I don't feel like I was feeling the way I felt when I played the game, and that might just be simply because I know what's happening. It's already spoiled for me. So of course I'm not going to go on those emotional highs. Like when I beat the game the first time, I was a wreck. I was weeping. I had to walk around my apartment and reevaluate my life. Like, oh my gosh, I just sell my stocks and that I don't have. And then go into
the- Oh, should I buy some?
Oh fuck, should I buy stocks and then sell them? Should I create a bunker and become a prepper? I don't know. But in this game, in the show, they hit all the notes perfectly. And I still think the final shot, the final line of dialogue still cuts me deep every time. So I think overall, it was a complete success. And it only makes me even more excited to see where they're going for season two. And I love the subtle nods that they kind of, for people who know what's going to happen, I love the subtle nods of like, oh, look at this thing. Yeah. This thing might be important later. I appreciated that. So overall, really, really loved it.
I agree. I adored that episode. I think it was a complete sport metaphor, home run, touchdown, a hole in one.
40 seven love. Points.
40 love. Is that a tennis thing?
I don't know. Sure.
Sure.
How do you score pickleball?
You pickle?
Points were scored. That's all I know. A lot of them.
You pickle Rick.
I had such... It's like you said, Steve. Like, it wasn't the game because... It can't hit me as hard as the game because once you know what's going to happen, it's impossible to. So it was different from that. But I'm excited for anyone who's never played the game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get the exact same feeling, I think, that you're supposed to get.
I want to know what they... What people who never played the game, I want to know how they find this finale.
Cause I hope they're okay right now.
Yeah. Cause when the game ended for me, the first time I played it, that's such an unconventional ending. Like, oh yeah, the hero, the protagonist you're with is kind of the villain by the end of it, but you understand why.
Right.
And you don't hate him for it, but you're just kind of like, wouldn't happen normally.
It's not that black and white is the whole point. Right. But I called Andy as soon as I finished the game, Andy, who's from the show. And Andy from Streaming Things. And I should have called Jimmy because Jimmy had bought me the game. But Andy had been drunkenly trying to get me to play the game since 2013. And I tried a few times, but the game was too scary. So I kept quitting. That's just how I think horror games are 10 times scarier than horror movies.
Yeah.
So I called Andy and I was like, oh my fucking God. Joel's the bad guy, you know, kind of right. Like that in my emotions at the time, I was trying to process it. So literally credits were still rolling.
He doomed the human race.
Yeah. Like, you know, and there's a really bad take that a lot of people have about this game and this story that I'm really excited for now that it's a show. But in my mind at the time I was like, oh my God, how fucking beautiful and crazy is that? He's willing to sacrifice the entire world rather than lose his daughter, quote unquote, again. Like, he's just not going to do it. There's nothing's going to stop him. Right. And it just destroys me. And this watching this, though, there were some other things, like you guys said, that they added that hit me just as hard as some of those final moments of the game because they aren't in the game. So I had got to experience it for the first time.
Those are my favorite parts of this episode. And I think it's because, like you said, it's the first time you get to experience them. So it's like, ooh, no, give me.
Yeah.
Let me consume. I need that content. I'm infected.
Content. Games on your phone. So let's dive right in. There's really not much to get through. And I want to kind of talk about it all as a whole. Because there's a lot of meat there.
Meat?
For the potatoes. But first off, let's start it off. It starts off with this extended season-wide recap. Typically, a recap before a TV show, especially in the era of streaming, will highlight specific things that are going to be referenced in the show that you're about to watch. So it'll pull from random things throughout previous episodes or seasons. Mm-hmm. In that way, I kind of don't like them sometimes because
they can be a little spoilery.
Yeah. Like if the first thing you see in the recap is surprise, motherfucker, then you know you're about to watch that character return from the dead or something in that episode. Like, why are they showing him?
Is Doke's in this?
So I was kind of blown away by the, like, they were kind of like walking you through, like, look at all the shit you've been through. I know it's been a long 8 weeks, but I want you to really sit with the growth these two characters have had and the relationship these two characters have and how it has grown. Right. I thought that was really impressive and interesting. I've never seen that before in a finale where it's just like, remember the whole show, you know,
hey, did you guys see this?
Yeah, I remember that. Remember Bill?
I remember.
This isn't an Arby's.
But then we open the episode in a flashback, which we all knew was coming because trailer. And it's Ashley Johnson, the person who I always say the voice, but that does them a discredit, a disservice. Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson did all of the motion capture work as well. Yeah. This was the original actor of Ellie. And it's her like 18,000 months pregnant. running from a clicker. You can hear the clicker in the background as she's struggling through the forest. Give me that baby. I want to raise it like my own. That sounds like Tony now. So she gets to a house.
I wouldn't be cut dead with them clicking sons of bitches.
She gets to the house and she bursts in and she says, it's me. Who's she talking to? We don't know yet. Nobody's in there. She runs upstairs, locks herself in the room, puts a chair, like old school style, puts a fucking chair up on the doorknob. First off, the doorknob's all slippery from her water breaking. She can't get it to turn. It's a powerful lubricant.
If you had the subtitles on, I hope the subtitles did a great service to you for the hearing impaired, because they made it a point to call out water breaks like as a sound.
Oh, it's not remember the Stranger Things season 4 subtitles
sloshy, tentacles undulating
squelchily and shit. We didn't have that guy writing them.
At least that copywriter wasn't on this episode, because he would have had a field day.
But you know, she's about to give birth to this baby. She slides down the wall, spreads them, but opens her, clicks her fucking knife open. Like, what a powerful image. Like, you're in the middle of giving birth, but you're wielding your switchblade, just waiting on this thing to burst through the door. Mm-hmm. And it does. The clicker runs in and she wrestles with this clicker for a couple of seconds, which feels like 20 minutes. Finally stabs it to death when she gets a hold of her knife. And when she looks down, her baby has plopped out while wrestling the clicker.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I can imagine the stress and terror of fighting one of those fucking things would push that sucker right out of there.
You're going to push. Right.
Yeah. I mean, something's coming out of a hole for sure.
Yeah, I would have shit myself, so I could imagine.
Yeah, I was surprised it was just the baby that came out. Because I would have shit my pants.
And the baby's just sitting there. Like laying on this like dirty, I mean, it's really I don't know if you guys know this, but newborn babies are very sensitive. And so like you need to wrap them and clean them off immediately. It's best to do some skin to skin first though. Right. And leave the umbilical cord attached for a little while is now the science of today, to let them get as many nutrients from mama as it can before you cut the cord. My daughter was just born 7 months ago. Like I just went through this. Right. But the baby's just fucking sitting there on these bare floorboards.
You had to stab an infected?
In this apocalyptic house. Yeah, same thing. Apocalyptic house. It's just a crazy image to see this like pure, embodiment of innocence in this world, right? It's wild. And it was extra weird seeing Ashley Johnson do this, because, you know, anytime you hear Ashley Johnson talk, you hear Ellie from the game.
Yeah.
And so there's this weird...
Just her grunting and running noises.
It's yeah.
Like I've listened to those noises as she's running in the game and like falling over stuff and grunting, you know? So that was kind of a mindfuck. Surreal.
Yeah. Because you're watching Ellie give birth to Ellie.
She literally passes the torch to her by like, here's the knife.
Yeah.
And then they have that moment where they're looking at each other's like in that like close up of the two of them kind of almost putting foreheads together. Like, this is so cool.
What'd she say? You fucking tell him, Ellie.
Yeah. She starts crying. You fucking tell him. And that sounded just like Ellie.
Yeah.
But it's like a visualization, I think 100% intentional, of them saying, this is Ellie giving the Ellie to Ellie, you know, you do it now. I've done my work.
Here's Ellie to present the winner of the Ellie to Ellie.
And it's just a knife award. What a profound scene. I mean, wow.
I really want to talk a little bit about, and I kind of joked about the subtitles mixed with the sound design, but the sound design in this part is great, because the whole time she's running through the woods, you can hear a clicker in the background. It's kind of scary. She gets into the house, and when she locks herself in the room, you can hear in the other room, it breaks through a window, and you can hear it running up the stairs before it slammed into the door. Oh, terrifying. Like, that's such a horrifying image or a thought, to just be in a room and you hear someone in the house violently sprinting towards you to the point where this clash into a door. Whew, my heart was a-racing. I got the vapors off that.
Me too, buddy. I mean, pregnancy in and of itself is terrifying.
Yeah.
She's got to have this fucking creature crawl out of her vagine I mean, it's a wild thing. I'm a man, and I can't imagine. It's terrifying. Like watching my wife endure that was a wild experience, even just for me. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but I can't imagine what it was like for her. Like it's like an alien, you know, like, but to add the clicker to all of that, like this was so profoundly disturbing to watch. I felt for her so much in that moment. And, mm-hmm. and we're getting this backstory of Ellie. So we find out that Marlene has known Ellie all this time. This is new information that's not in the game.
That's in the game.
And she's the one that brought the baby to Boston and everything.
Well, they don't say that, but Marlene says like she knew her parents and put her in the school and purposely didn't communicate with Ellie as to protect her from the world of the Fireflies.
It was neat because there's the scene in Left Behind.
Yeah.
Where Riley said, I asked Marlene if I could take you with me, and she said no. And it's kind of like, this is why now. Like, she was protecting her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You learn a little bit in Left Behind when you're able to ask Riley questions. There's like four or five questions that you can ask, and one of them is something about Ellie's mother, and she talks a little bit about Marlene and Ellie's mom.
Okay. I don't think I asked those ones.
Yeah, well, there's like four different options that you choose from. And
I didn't care about that. Yeah.
You're just throwing bricks. Like, fuck it.
Like, Ellie's mom, don't know her. Yeah. Yawn.
Yeah, let's go back to the squirt guns. Yeah. Yeah, so Marlene and a friend in the next scene approach. The house is locked. We assume that's what Anna did as she ran through. But they go through the back door. They hear Anna singing. And
I thought she was a clicker singing for a minute. I was like, oh my God, this is about to be real creepy.
Oh my gosh, they're learning.
They've evolved.
Country road, take me home.
In my head, I saw her like,
to the place.
I saw her like all fungused up against the wall with the baby, and she was just singing.
That would have
been
a wild image. Yeah. It's kind of like that. I mean, the infection, so she got cut on her leg.
Yeah.
And the fungus is already spreading. And turns out he's not a fun guy. And so Marlene and her friend go in there. And this destroyed my heart, ripped it open, stepped on it, spit on it, and called it a dirty bitch. She had she had that fucking knife to her jugular, holding her baby and singing to, I'm going to cry, to soothe it, like ready to kill herself at a moment's notice in case she
got
lest
hungry.
She hurt the baby, you know?
The baby.
Oh my God, the baby. And, you know, I've been with my daughter all day, you know, right. And I just, you can't describe the amount of love you have for this creature that needs you. Like, it's fucked without you, right? Like, it's just, it looks at you. You're the best thing in the world. You are, in fact, the only fucking thing in the world to that baby, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm a shit. I can't do anything. I'm a baby, right? And so I just, God, it's powerful, man. And like, there's so much operating at once, and I've never seen anything quite like this before in television or felt this way. The way that she panics and cuts the cord, like there's there's like this immediate recognition of,
oh, okay, should I have been bit?
I'm gonna die. But now she's immediately worried about the baby, right? Yeah. Like, how can I salvage this part? This is all cut that matters cord, now.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, her infection didn't get into the baby's bloodstream before she cut it.
Yeah, and it did, but that's what made her immune. And now that we've learned this for the first time, right? Like, this is not in the game canon,
right? Yeah. They never explain why she's immune. They're
you just assume it's like immune. A yeah. mutation,
right?
X,
yeah,
X factor. She's like rogue.
I think they actually do say like it's mutated where it just sits in her brain. Like the whole idea of it living in her brain is still there, but I think they say like it just mutated and it's just chilling up there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, it's me, the Cordyceps mutation. I've taken up residence in this little girl's brain.
She's cool.
She's pretty cool. I really am a big fan of her puns. They really tickle my fungus. We could be fun, guys.
That's true. And so, yeah, basically Marlene, she begs Marlene, you have to take the baby, go to Boston. Marlene's like, I can't do that. I don't like kids. And she's like, well, you've known me. You've known me my whole life. You know, like, and it's a powerful scene. Ashley Johnson's incredible in this scene.
And she says, like, I cut the umbilical cord before I was bit to, like, kind of sweeten the pot. Like, yeah, take this baby. It's not infected.
Yeah, she lied.
Mm-hmm, she lied.
Stresses that. Mm-hmm. And she begs her to kill her. And this is powerful too, because Marlene is played again by Merle Dandridge, who actually played Marlene in the game. And so we've got these, for fans of the game, you've got the two actual actors beside, you know, one another in this moment. And it's wild to watch. But Marlene says she'll take the baby, but she can't kill her. Then Werner Herzog comes out of nowhere.
I would like to see the baby.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I've been merely existing on this plane of the earth that we call the apocalypse, but really I call it capitalism.
That's right.
And I just want to see the newborn baby.
And then... If the listeners are wondering
where my Werner's at,
I can oscillate between crying and begging for a Werner Herzog impersonation, laughing. Welcome to my life. I probably need medicine. This is all day. I bounce back and forth, baby. But she says she can't kill her. And then she goes outside. She gives the baby. She gives Ellie to the guy, the fucking guy who can't even cover the baby's ears like he's told to.
Doug. Fucking Doug, man.
Is that his name?
No, I'm calling him Doug.
Yeah, he's a total Gary. He's a Gary.
Or a Craig. Remember that guy?
Oh, fucking Craig.
Fucking the worst. But she walks back in and executes Anna, and then that's it. That's end scene. Yeah, that's so we're starting off happy.
Yeah, that was such a bummer because, you know, Anna's like, hey, please kill me. I don't want to turn, because in this world, that would be awful to like.
We can assume.
Yeah, you have to assume.
She straight awesome. Says no. She's like, nah, I'm not killing you.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure she wasn't going to. I was like, oh man, that's crazy.
That's dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were going to leave her writhing in there.
And then you get hit with the 1-2 punch where it's like she runs. She actually does end up going there and killing her friend. Mercy killing her. But then also fucking Doug doesn't cover that baby's ears. He didn't even try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then poor girl starts crying. I'm like, get that baby away from him. He's useless.
Yeah, he's terrible. That's what she does. She takes him immediately and starts to soothe it.
Good.
Great if she shot Doug.
I wish you
should have covered the ears.
I wish you would have been like, did you not cover this baby's ears? You're useless, Doug.
Congratulations. Now she's a little deaf.
Yeah.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
We find the origin of the knife in this scene too.
Yeah, so, it was Mama's knife.
Yeah, they don't ever explain that. It's the knife isn't really big until the second game, I think, but it's been all throughout this episode, and we finally
handed down why. Through generations of stabbies.
There's a secret on it only fire can tell about the Targaryens having to safeguard the Westeros from a threat from the north.
It's the Song of Ice and Fire is written upon the blade.
Ellie is a Targaryen, confirmed.
Touch it. It's quite cool.
It's quite cool. All knives are quite cool, if you know what I mean.
Then we cut to Ellie, present day, sitting stunned in a truck bed. Joel's calling out to her. You can hear that he's muffled. He's got beefaroni. He's got boggle. He's trying to cheer her up. She's totally unlike the Ellie that we've come to know.
The two B's.
Yeah, boggle and beefaroni.
Mm-hmm.
Beef and boggle.
I'm boggled by this beefaroni because she's traumatized by the events with David. You know,
I was boggled for a moment because, so full disclosure, we started watching this episode maybe a half hour late because we were wrapping up our Yellow Jackets recording that we did before. Friend of the pod, former host, Andy.
Yeah.
He just texted me, beefaroni, LOL. Because he would make fun of me because at one point in our lives, I would have cans of beefaroni just on hand in case I ran into groceries and just needed something because I hadn't gone to the store yet. And so he just texted me beefaroni. So I thought he was just at home randomly and thought, you know what? I'm going to give Steve shit for that beefaroni. And so I'd message him back like, hey, man, don't judge me. And then a half hour later, we get to that part. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Oh, I thought he was over sipping on Sniper Tony's cough medicine.
Just like
beefaroni.
Beefaroni.
You don't drink it all at once.
Yeah, that's a bad thing to do, Andy.
Pace yourself.
See the devil if you do that.
So she's sitting in this truck bed, traumatized from, you know, all of the assault by David and all the wild shit she just went through and, you know, having to brutally stab him 100 times as well. We find out they're close to the hospital. That might be the one that they're looking for. So they start walking around, hiking up. The car has been kaput. At this point, I think it's time for that, right? they might just be taking a break to look for food. The car dies sometime soon, but he offers to teach her a guitar. Hey, I saw a guitar in the RV back there. She's kind of half listening. Oh, sure, that's cool. So they find a skyscraper, go up and look around. Right? There's a little bit of banter about that. She's like, I know.
That's the game plan. Every city MO. They go to.
He says, no, we found some demolitions in the thing back there.
Plot She's twist.
Like, really? No.
We're going to blow it with dynamite. No. This became Red Dead Redemption 2. Different game. Call me Arthur. She's like, really?
Boy.
And he's like, no, yeah, you're right. So they start walking around. They see a few things. They find a ladder. And he says, hey, why don't you hop up there and drop the ladder down for me, right? I'll boost you up. And but she sees something when she gets up there, and she just kind of throws the ladder at him like, here, you'll be all right. She runs off. He's scared because he doesn't know where she's going. When he catches up to her, she's looking at a bunch of fucking giraffes. I don't know what the plural giraffe eye.
Giraffes, I think.
I think it's right. Just giraffe.
Omar Giraffe. Nope. It's just a bunch of giraffes. So there's a nearby zoo and they've gotten out. They've let loose. And this is such a beautiful moment because David stole the last remnants.
You know what a group of giraffes is called?
What?
A tower.
Oh, a skyscraper.
A tower of giraffes.
The baby.
The baby.
So, you know, it's such an incredible moment that really didn't hit me this way in the game, even though it's a beautiful moment. But the show really hammered home that David had kind of stolen the last remnants of her innocence, right? And so she's just this kind of husk of herself, doesn't know how she's going to go on the way that she used to, going through the motions of apocalyptic life, the drudge of the trudge, if you will. I think the giraffes kind of awaken something in her, that there is beauty and goodness in this world. There's still things to get excited about. And Joel kind of sees her lighting up. So he's like, all right, then. I guess let's run after the giraffe, the tower.
It's neat to see Joel acting like trying to cheer her up. Like, we got that stone Joel all season long.
Yeah, he's normally resisting it.
Now he's a chatty Cathy. You can't shut him up.
Yeah, the difference between the two, especially after she went through what she went through. And then he's just trying to, you know, I got Boggle, we got a guitar. You know, he's trying to make her laugh and shit. It's really neat to see that.
It's being a dad, you know? You see, like, when they fall, scrape their knee, or fucking deal with a psychopathic serial killer cannibal guy.
Or he's like, maybe she doesn't like me anymore. I need her to like me. Here's Boggle.
And he tells her in this moment while they're looking at the giraffes, you know, we don't have to do this. Let's just turn around and go back to Tommy's. Let's just be safe, right? Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, it sounds cool, but this can't be for nothing. Everything that we went through. I'll go with you wherever you want to go. We can go start a sheep farm or go to the fucking moon. I'll follow you anywhere.
He's like, sheep?
But we got to finish this first.
Finish what they started.
Then they get to some emergency medical camps. And these are like not the QZs set up by Fedra.
Before we move on, though, how did you guys feel about the giraffe scene? Because that's like the most iconic part of the game is the giraffe scene. I mean, there are giraffe plushies you can buy because of this. There's constant Easter eggs about this in so many other games now. I'm just curious, like, how you guys felt they pulled it off, because it's such a big part of that franchise.
Jimmy,
I was super nervous that they weren't going to include it, just because of how short the runtime was. And in my brain, the end of the game, there's a lot going on, right? So I was real nervous that they weren't going to put it in there, but it's such an important part of the game, right? Because it lifts Ellie back up a little bit. And I remember the first time playing the game, barely. I was super high when I played it. But I cried at that part, like just them standing there looking at it. And I can remember just, maybe I nodded out or something, but you can just sit there and with their hands on the edge and just watch the giraffes in the field for the longest time before they decide to go on. So,
The game makes you choose when to leave that moment.
Yeah.
Like, it allows you to sit there and enjoy the scenery, and you're the one that just tells the game, okay, I'm ready to move on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if they do this in the game, but there's a callback to it might be the second episode of this season, where they have that little banter and she says something about the view. You can't beat the view. Mm-hmm. And was it her that said it or Joel that says it when they're in Boston and they're looking at the...
That's with Tess and everything when they first get up there. Yeah. I think it was Ellie that time as well.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around. I thought that Ellie had said something and Joel was like, well, you can't beat the view. So I thought that they'd flip the line.
Maybe it doesn't callback. Sound like early Joel,
right? You know?
Fuck shut you. The fuck up. Yeah. The thing's talking. Steve?
I thought they did pretty well. I still think the magic was a little bit more in the game, only because I was taken out a little bit. There was a couple.
The CGI was really rough on the close up giraffe.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have a close up giraffe moment in the game, did they?
They did.
Yeah, you feel
it. Do they?
Yeah, it's like the same exact, it's almost the same exact framing where there's a hole in the wall and he starts petting it. And he's like, here, feed it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty bad, honestly, the CGI in that moment. But I really didn't care, but I wanted it to move on. I liked the wide shot a lot. Like, that was pretty well done.
Yeah, and I feel like it was even just like when she started feeding it, I felt like it looked a lot better.
I agree.
Even in that close-up. There's a specific close-up where Joel's petting it and it turns and looks at Ellie. I'm like, gah.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that.
That needs some more time in the oven.
Good.
You guys are nerds.
We are nerds.
Well, I remember thinking.
I'm being very pedantic.
I literally had the thought of, you know, 30 years ago, the dinosaurs looked more real than this giraffe does. What is going on?
But then when they get on the ledge, I wasn't disappointed because I can almost feel them like behind the camera going, don't look at that fucking giraffe. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. Because every second we look at that giraffe, that's like $1 million in the bucket.
Yeah, right.
Don't look at those giraffes. And so and that kind of took me out of it because, you know, in a game, there's no budget, right? So you can look whatever the fuck you want. It's animation, right?
Right.
So you get to see and experience that moment and kind of see them watch it more and kind of be in that moment. So in that regard, I feel like I was spoiled in that way. Cause I'm like, I want to be in the moment with them, but it's a different medium. Right. So I can't have that, but
yeah.
And so
it serves its purpose.
Yeah. With that lens, I think they still did a really good job given what they're working with.
You can see the reawakening of Ellie, which is the whole purpose of those giraffes.
Yeah.
That's the symbol that they represent.
Realize it. And it gives her the resolve to keep going and finish her mission.
It's nothing halfway.
Nope.
Nothing halfway.
Half measures avail us nothing.
Endure and survive.
Ooh. At
the turning point.
Endure and survive.
Endure and survive.
So then they get to the emergency medical camps, and these were built by the original American military before Fedra took over. Joel, as he tells Ellie in the scene, was in one. And she said, hey, with your daughter. And he said, no, she was already gone. And now he's finally opening up. He's talking about Sarah like it's nothing. Like, hey, sure, what do you want to know, right? And we find out that the guy who shot at him and missed way back in whatever episode that was, I think 4, where he told Ellie that. And the reason why he's deaf in that ear is because he tried to shoot himself in the head out of grief for losing Sarah. And then the military ended up, I guess, finding him and stitching him up.
He said, so, what, the day after? The second day?
Yeah, it was the second day.
Yeah.
Because Ellie was like, I've thought that would have happened much later on. And it's like, no, it was the second day. And that guy was me.
Right after what we saw in the the opening to this whole show is when he did that. And there's another moment, man. Yeah. I was crying. I was crying because she said, oh, we're trying something like time heals all wounds. And he looks over at her and he's like, it wasn't time that did it. You know, meaning it was her that healed that wound that he had. And God, rough shit, man. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he says he's in the mood for shitty puns after she says, well, it's time to get going.
Goddamn right.
She's like, ho, she's hyped.
Yeah.
Pulls him out, busts a few off for him. But then a fucking flashbang comes rolling at their feet.
Oh, you're not going to see us read some of those puns, baby?
No, I didn't write them down, man. I take this shit seriously. This is an emotional episode.
People are making apocalypse jokes like there's no tomorrow.
Too soon?
No, it's topical.
No, it's topical. Like, so I love how he started like giving them ratings out of 10. He's like, that's a 0 out of 10 pun. Okay, that's a 3 out of 10. That's the
meteor one, right?
Yeah. You like the grapes one.
He did, right? And that ended it. She was gearing up for her best one when the flashbang came a rolling. So they get stunned. It's chaos, you know, like crazy noises. Beep. I was trying to do that. I had a stroke, though, temporarily. And then he gets hit movie style in the head with the butt of the gun. That's always going to put you out for an hour every time. And
definitely not kill you.
Never going to know.
Yeah. You always wake up somewhere funny.
They need to do a spoof movie where somebody tries to do that and the guy just goes, ow! And then he just keeps hitting him over and over until he dies. And they go, what did you do that for? And he said, I was trying to knock him out. Yeah. That's his head.
You broke his skull.
Yeah. And then when he comes to, he kind of sees the blurry firefly symbol. And I love that because it looked like blood dripping down a sink at first. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it ended up being one of the firefly symbols on like a barrel. And Marlene is there and Ellie's gone. And Marlene's amazed that Joel got her here. She's like, I had like a small army of people and most of them died to get me here. How did you and that girl get here? And he's like, oh, it's mostly Ellie. You know, she's crazy. She'll cut you.
I pay her to protect me now.
And she's like, no, she wouldn't have. She would have died the first day without you. And you're the man, the one man I never wanted to be indebted to, and I owe you. Because reminder, Marlene knows a lot about Joel, who he was, right? Joel used to be a murderous raider. And that's not stressed enough, I think, in conversations about the character. But she found out a little. She says their doctor has found like some cordyceps in Ellie's, you know, body is what she kind of dances around it, and says that the cordyceps is sending chemical messengers to tell other cordyceps that she's already cool. She's in the club. She's in the cordyceps crew. She's already been indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. She's already been, what's the word?
And also that she, it's not going to grow anymore because it feels like it's already taken over.
Yeah, I'm home.
I'm home. You know what? I just really like being here. It's really comfy. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little loft. It's a little kid's brain. You wouldn't believe the things that go through this kid's brain. It's a hoot. Mm-hmm. It's a real hoot.
That's right.
You know what they call a group of giraffes? What? A tower.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's that type of shit all day long.
And so go ahead.
Marlene talks about how, you know, she's had cordyceps in her brain since birth, so it's kind of made it so where it's sending the mixed signals. It's given the other cordyceps mixed signals.
It's kind of a reveal because he's like, wait. He's trying to understand what they mean by cut it out and then give it to everyone else. He's like, it's in her brain, yeah, right?
He's slightly dumb. He's like, in her brain? Surgery?
Well, he's like, computing. He did just get hit.
I think he realizes, like, wait, if it's in her brain, that means she's going to die. Mm-hmm. Like that, and it's less of a he doesn't know, but more of a are you seriously going to kill her?
Because I will kill you.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that I wish both the game and the show would have expanded just a little bit more of this conversation, because it goes from that to like, yeah, Joel, stay the fuck here, I'll kill you, and he's like, I'll kill you back, and there's not enough there's not enough pleading to him being like, hey man, this really is gonna, yeah, it sucks, and there's a little bit, but I feel like he could have, I don't know, I want a little bit more.
Oh, I disagree.
I want a little bit more of it. I want to even see the doctor come in and show him the test results.
I want to see this right here.
I want to see the insurance person come in and
give him a cigar.
Give him the bill. Be like, it's $1,000 for your head wound that we caused. What's your insurance? Oh, you're out of network.
Out of network. Mm-hmm. Just signed here.
I think it's perfect because the dynamic that I read is both in the game and in the show. Let's just focus on the show though, right? Joel does say, you're not going to kill her. That's his reaction, right? Like he's got this knee jerk. I'm not losing another one. Mm-hmm. It took me 20 years to process this trauma. I'm finally doing okay. I'll literally do anything. And we'll see in a moment that he'll literally do anything to stop this from happening. And Marlene knows Joel. She knows who he is, what he's really capable of over the last 20, 30 years, you know. But maybe she knew him in real life. Even she's like, he's a great carpenter.
Just give his backpack. Let him go.
And so as soon as he charges forward to make a protestation, the other guy hits him in the stomach. So they accelerated the violence immediately. There's mm-hmm. very little talking to be done at that point. You punch me in the stomach with the butt of your gun after hitting me in the head with the butt of your gun. I'm not talking anymore, right?
Sure.
She knows Joel Miller. She's scared of him, but she owes him too much of a debt to just shoot him in the head, even though that's a smart thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. And she knows how he feels about this girl. So she thinks that he's under a strong enough watch with the two guys that are armed and he's not. Take him out there. If he tries anything at all, shoot him. She thinks it's done, right? Like, I don't know. I just don't know what else there is to discuss there. Like, she doesn't care to convince him. He's some fucking pissant.
I want more. I guess I just wanted more because I like what these actors are doing. I like the way they're interacting. So I just wanted to see more of that because I'm on this ride, right? And I just want to be on it a little longer. And And I guess I just would have wanted to see like Pedro Pascal like kind of yell and scream a little bit, and then maybe like she seemingly calms him down, but he really does. I don't know. It just goes from like, hey, she's fine. Hey, the doctor did this. Hey, we're going to cut it out. And he's like, what the fuck? No. And he's just like, yeah, but I knew her mom. kick him out. Like, I don't know. I wish there was just a little bit.
We get that tear from Marlene, too, because it's hard for her, too. She does have a long experience with this.
I loved everything she did. Like, she's perfect in this role. I just wish there was more on Joel's behalf of, like, I wanted to see him get there, too.
I guess I feel like Joel has no argument, so there's nothing to argue. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know you could save the world, probably. I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. that's his argument. So sure. Why even voice that? Like, okay, I know what I got to do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's no monologue that needs to happen because he's just going to be him out loud saying, fuck the world. I like one person and it's not you. It's bad news for you. You know what I mean? And that's what's so crazy about this game, because it kind of, it asks me to ask myself these questions, and not with the logic wide shot lens of what's better for humanity. It's like the thought experiment of the car and the two tracks and the one, you know what I mean? Like, do you kill the one person to save the 20? And it's one of those thought experiments, but you watch it play out with characters that you love. Imagine knowing the faces on the tracks of that experiment, right?
Imagine one of the person that you'd have to kill is your surrogate daughter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about this and I'm honest with myself and I picture my daughter Arya in this situation,
if you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're both going to die because I'm going to be incapable of getting to her the way that Joel is, you know, but if I could, I would have, every one of them is going down. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a wild thing to say out loud. I'm just saying that's what's so magical about this game. And this story, I should say, was like, wow. Like, it was a destroying, it takes a long time to get over if you're really honest with yourself about what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not a good person.
No, it's what makes the ending of the story so great.
Yes. Yes. But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. These are powerhouse actors, and this is like the emotional heart before everything kind of goes away from dialogue for the most part and just kind of unfolds. Mm-hmm. And you want to stay in that moment. But I do think it's true to the truth of the character in the moment. Like, there's nothing for him to verbalize or argue there because his argument is shit and he knows it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. I'm just, it's kind of like a child, like, but also no, you know, like that's
fuck
our,
you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck
yeah.
You.
It's Ellie. You're cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So Marlene says, hey, you take him to the highway, give him his backpack and tell him to fuck right off. And you can see Joel kind of,
she gives him Ellie's knife.
Does give, you know, give him this, and tries to process things as he's walking through the hall, or more like capitalize on the right moment to strike, because I think he's already made up his mind. So he's kind of looking around like,
yeah, I think the moment he walked out of the room, he knew what was going to happen. He was just planning.
There's a paperclip over there.
Yeah, the rubber band.
But when he gets him in the stairs, he makes his move, kills both guards, and it takes their gun. And I really like how they did this. My notes are, he shoots the guards, shoots more guards and more. Because in the game, obviously, there's gameplay for this part of the scene. So it's an interesting thing to kind of map out. And I think the way that they did this is brilliant, because you could easily, like, I love John Wick 1, 2, and 3. I'm so excited for 4. It's one of my favorite franchises of all time. I adore that show. It's cartoonishly violent, those movies, right? The fact that he's killed 500 people doesn't resonate as 500 human lives, because it's just a John Wick movie. It's not that kind of movie. So if they had done it in an action way, it would have diminished the emotional power of this.
Yeah.
But by kind of lowering the sound effects and ramping up this fucking violin. Yeah,
the violin was so money.
It made it like, oh my God, look what he's doing. This isn't cool. Like, if they, you know what I mean? If they'd have had him like barrel rolling.
I love the almost Schindler's List-esque cinematography of just dead body in the corner. You don't even see the full body. Like, do you just see like the wake of his destruction?
The girl in the red jacket shambled by.
Yeah, shambled by. You and you were like, oh.
Yeah.
But you don't even like really see like all of his victims, but you see like the wake of the destructions he's leaving.
And the very subtle like double taps he's doing. Like
the one dude throws down his gun and throws his hands out.
He's just like, boom.
I don't have time. What if you pick it up later?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just singular mindedness. And honestly, and I don't want to put this imagery in anybody's head who didn't have it there to begin with, but the way that they filmed it with that music, it makes Joel look like an active shooter in a situation that we have in America all the time. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like him in a mall is the vibe that it had, like that. I don't know. It's just a wild. I mean, they did it. You're not supposed to be siding with Joel in this moment 100%. You're supposed to be very upset and torn. And they did that very effectively, I feel like. Mm-hmm.
And it's in the game. It's interesting because, like I said, there's gameplay and you're running around and you are actively pulling the trigger on all these people, but it's nowhere near as sad in the moment because you're just like, gameplay, let me sneak. I've never had one of these.
Yeah.
And you get I'm going to sneak around here. Let me listen. Oh, he's over there. I'm going to sneak around and stab him. I'm going to throw a
bomb over there.
Yeah. You're strategizing.
Let me put
some
nail bombs and shit.
And you've already killed hundreds of people by this point in the game. Whereas in the show, he's only killed like four. And you've seen a few clickers and you know what I mean? It made this like, oh my God, you know,
cause we've been hearing so much about like, oh, what a powerhouse Joel Miller is. And then really you kind of see, you know, he's kind of unleashed in this scene.
Yeah. You can see him become who he used to be.
Yeah. And the art house cinematography of it all, where it's very like, I don't know, like I think the way you described it as like, you know, it puts you more in it. Than like if you watch a regular action scene.
Yeah, yes. that was a huge relief for me watching this. Is we had talked previously, like, oh, they might show him kill like two people, you know, and then it ends, and I was like, that can't happen because in the game, like to put the point out there, he murders tons of people for this cause, for this little girl, and they did it right.
Yeah, because it minimizes the choice that he makes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that we were worried about. Yeah. But he goes in, he kills, I don't know how many. It's 15 to 20 people.
And it goes back to the whole like question of it all. He's literally laying waste to humanity to save one person.
Yeah.
It's a visual metaphor, you guys. I don't know if you knew that. Let me shut my glasses.
Sound like the cordyceps there. Thanks for the help there.
You're welcome.
Cordy.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I'm just up here rattling around. I have thoughts.
Yeah, you do. You've been sitting there a while learning things. But he makes it all the way to the pediatric surgery ward, which I thought it was neat of them to actually do the surgery where they should if the world wasn't ended. Yeah. That's nice. Because they could have easily done it in the lobby.
There are rules.
Yeah. Right.
What would have happened if she woke up in a lobby? She needs to wake up in a place where you have elephants on the walls.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
This is a child.
And there's four nurses, I believe, and one doctor in there. Maybe three. And what doesn't matter. There's some people in there. And the violin on the score really ramps up in this moment. And I took note of it because you've got the guitar, the typical Last of Us guitar. I forget his name. It's unfortunate because he's a legend, but he's plucking away and then the violin kicks up and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy that they're actually doing it. Like, you know, and I can't imagine watching this for the first time and not having played the game. I can imagine it was like when I played the game, I guess. We were just like, oh my God. But he goes in, the doctor grabs the scalpel. You're not going to take her. And he shoots him in the face immediately. I think I am.
Never bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
And he tells the nurses to unplug her. And I think it was an interesting touch that they decided to include the moment where when they pull the IV out, her arm is bleeding. And even that tiny bit of blood, he's like, definitely not. Cover that up. You know what I mean? Like, stop that. She's hurt. Yeah. Daughter hurt. You know, fix. And then he tells them to turn around and he picks her up, carries her out. And in the parking garage, he runs into Marlene, who has been hiding, very understandably so this whole time, I guess. She, I went out to pee. Everything cool?
What happened? Marlene needed her cigs and the whole world.
But she already knows what he's done, and she pulls a gun on him and says, you know, you can't do this. What would she decide? That's the most important part of this conversation. Like, you're doing this for you. You know, she would want to be up there in that operating table if she had the, you know, to make, she did make this decision, right? And Joel sees the truth of that. So he mostly says nothing. And Marlene tries to de-escalate the situation, lowers her gun and says, look, I know what you've done, but it's still not too late. Like, we can fix this. We'll find another way to turn her into a cure. And then the scene cuts right as Marlene offers this truce, and it's Ellie wakes up in the car for a second. I can imagine if you're watching this for the first time, maybe you don't even know if Ellie's in the car. Maybe he decided to leave her there. And that's kind of, it made me smile thinking about the twist there. Like, cause that's how I felt with the game, you know, like, oh shit, what's going on?
Did he leave her?
Yeah.
He's fuck it.
Yeah.
You got me.
Right. I killed too many people. I freaked out.
There I go killing again.
It wasn't even for her. It's because that guy hit me. Pissed me off.
I didn't like the cut of his jib.
But then we see Elliot in the back. She wakes up and he proceeds to lie to her. Like, oh, there's tons of people that are immune. They've been working on all of them. They can't figure out a cure. They're not even going to try anymore.
Mm-hmm. Then raiders attack the hospital.
Yeah. Really got you. I didn't have time to get your clothes because I'm fucking
remember kill everybody. Oh, I mean,
you remember the raiders?
The raiders killed everybody.
It's so clear that he's lying too, because he's like oversharing and over explaining throughout the rest of it. He's just like going on and on and on.
And she knows.
Yeah.
That's why she has to ask later.
Yeah.
She says, what happened to Marlene? You know? Yeah. And he's like, we'll be home soon.
I'm sorry.
Oh, see what's on the radio. Because he can't say, I shot her in the stomach and then went back and shot her in the face because she was still crawling around all alive looking like. And there's a flashback to where we get to see that. And he says, you'll just come after her. That's why I can't let you go. Right. He's taking zero chances. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, yep, shoots her and cuts to on the road again.
So the only people he didn't kill were the nurses. He says, turn around.
Correct.
Did you guys kill them in the game?
No.
Be honest, Steve.
I didn't.
I set every one of those motherfuckers on fire.
And that's the thing about the game is like the thing with the doctor happens the same way, but the game, I think the game makes you kill the doctor regardless.
Yeah.
But you can leave the nurses alive, but like you can also kill them. Conversely, if you're Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, I killed them all.
I panicked. I had a shotgun. There might have been some collateral damage, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Those nurses, one of them could be a badass and come
They
out
came her. At me.
Yeah. You spray and prayed?
They came at me, Steve.
I think I killed them different times.
I think I screamed.
Ways every time.
I screamed, they're coming right for us. And just unloaded. That's what I was taught. But they're back in Wyoming. He's taking the car. This is where the car overheats, not the earlier scene. I'm a dum-dum. But Ellie's sitting in the car while he's kind of looking at it while it's overheating. And she's looking at the scars on her arm. And he says, hey, we got to hike the rest of the way. It's about 5 miles. Remember that? Remember when we used to walk literally across the entire country?
Good old days.
And she's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, all right, cool. Let's go.
My shoes need a good duct taping again. So.
Yeah. Remember when I got stabbed with a bat?
We've had some laughs.
Good times.
We've had some laughs.
And he says, Sarah and I used to hike, talking about his daughter and how much Sarah would have liked Ellie. And he's dancing around. Like, it's being really awkward. This is the most dad I've ever seen him, right? Like, she was taller than you, but not better, you know? Mm-hmm. She had a nice smile. I'm not saying you don't have a nice smile.
I've definitely done that where I felt like I was in trouble and I, like, it's trying to change the subject.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just like, I'll look over there.
Damn, sky's blue as shit, man.
Damn.
Them clouds are clouding.
Like music? What's your favorite color?
You like music? What's your favorite color?
Just making shit up. So in my brain, I'm like, oh, they're not thinking about all the people that just died.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the hospital. Let's talk about hiking, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the great outdoors where you can find play fireflies. Boggle? Oh, fuck. I mean.
Yeah, he busts out the boggle.
Let's play.
And she, you know, I think I would have liked your daughter too, I bet, you know, on and on and on. And so finally she says, hey, wait. And you can see him kind of like, ah,
he's
here
like,
it comes.
We're almost there.
We're almost there, Tommy.
Almost made it to Jackson.
And she confirms, because I've seen a lot of people online discussing whether or not they think that she had to execute Riley. But it's now canon, at least in the show. That's exactly what happened. She said, hey, back then when I said it wasn't my first time, I wasn't alone when I got bit in the mall. She shot Riley, right? She had to. Terrible, terrible thing.
That's not in the game, is it? That
it's not confirmed. No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
I just played him.
Well, I just listened to Christian Spicer, who hosts the HBO podcast, talking about how it's not confirmed. Not that he's an expert, but I mean he is, but not that his word's final, but I know you just played it, but like, yeah, it's a weird conversation for somebody paid by Neil Druckmann to have.
I'm like 99% sure.
That's really sure.
That's like 100%.
Yeah.
Your math's terrible. Now give him the cordyceps.
I will give this caveat that the most recent version I played was the PlayStation 5 remaster, and they have very minor things.
Gotcha. Including leading setting stuff up better for Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So they might have included
that's
that.
That's possible, but that's the version I played too. But I mean, I've only played it once.
I'm going to have to go.
Either way, it's really nice to have this for sure in the show. And it's a cool moment because she's like, hey, you gave me something, talking about your attempted suicide and your daughter. And here's this about me that I've never told anyone. Like, now we're fully bonded. But by the way, swear to me.
Swear to me.
Yeah. She hits him with the Batman move, right? Like, I don't believe you, but make me believe you, please. That way I can be happy.
Everything you said about the Fireflies is true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
I swear.
Totes my goat.
Now, later's on the Minjay. Jobin.
Just call me Jobin.
He does his best Bill Clinton. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Yeah, definitely.
Scout's honor.
I did not murder all those Fireflies.
And one doctor.
I was just having a good time.
I played saxophone on every floor in that building.
I was just about to say that exact same thing.
I got down with him. And he says, I swear. He swears to her. And then she looks at him for a long moment and just making the decision, like, okay, we're going to just act like we both don't know what really happened.
Okay.
And then cut to black. I almost said fade, but that would be inaccurate. It's a cut to black.
Cut to black is always more effective than a fade.
Powerful words. And that's it. That's the end. And I wanted to talk about this briefly. I know we're running out of time, but the thing that goes around the internet that drives me crazy, and I won't talk about The Last of Us Part 2 at all. I can leave that out when I say this. A lot of people seem to have taken the tactic in the years since 2013 of interpreting what goes on as Joel is 100% the hero, because it's obvious that the Fireflies were never going to be scientifically or technologically capable of making a cure from Ellie. So they were going to kill her needlessly. And they were terrible people. And everybody, it's obvious throughout the game, there's context clues that they're not good people. And he saved her from them. But
we'll never know that.
That's a terrible take.
Yeah.
Because that ruins everything special about the game and all of the themes. The whole point, whether or not it's scientifically possible to make a cure from the cordyceps against the cordyceps from Ellie, is irrelevant. The point is that Marlene believes they can. The doctor believes they can. And Joel believes they can and still decides, fuck it, Ellie's more important. Mm-hmm. That is the whole emotional core of the ending of this story. And if you like use mental gymnastics to get around that into Joel being your stereotypically parkour. Good person, mm-hmm. parkour, I think you ruin what's really special about this story. So I just wanted to.
There are some, you know, and this mostly comes from the second game, but there are a lot of
that's why I was like,
there's a lot of weird Joel apologists out there that are just kind of like, dude, I think you're just misinterpreting the message of this game, like on a fundamental level.
Willfully, but you know, Joel is cool.
We all like Joel.
We all love Joel Miller.
He's a great character in fiction, right?
Yes.
And that's why this is so popular, is because these are both amazing characters to be on this journey with. But what he does is very controversial. It's, you know, there are great arguments for, hey, maybe you should have let Ellie do what she saw as her purpose, and that was her choice to make. And also there are really great arguments for, you know, hey, how can you do that? How could you let someone you love just be killed like that? And that's what makes this such a great ending, is it creates these discussions. It's hard. It's a tough topic to live in. And to be a part of. And I think if you kind of pull, like you said, you pull that away and you just kind of absolve Joel of like any wrongdoing. And you're just like, the Fireflies are evil. They're not fully evil. They do questionable things. They're not fully evil. Fedra does a lot of fucked up shit, but there's some, you know, there's not all bad people in Fedra. Like it's, this is what humanity is, right? It's gray all around.
Gray.
Gray.
I don't know why I just said to one letter.
Are you Newt from Aliens? Yeah. Gray.
I was just think,
they come agreeing out at with night, you. Mostly.
Mostly. Well said, my friend. Couldn't have said it better myself. Now is typically the time we go into the top three favorite Fireflies. I got to be honest with you guys. And this is we've been doing this show years, and this segment in particular, at least 2 years, right? I didn't do it. I didn't fill them out. I don't know what to do.
Well, this is a first. Where do we go from here?
First time I ever. I don't know how. How am I going to pick three moments?
Well, you just throw a dartboard at it. That's a joke a reference. For later this week.
Yeah, that's a reference from the future. Okay, I'll do my best.
All right. Should we start off and give you time to fill in the blanks?
Just know that I love the whole thing. Steve, you're number three.
My number three is Joel's Rampage. We talked at length about it during the recap, but just I think they really did that whole section a great service. And, you know, this show has always been, you know, it's been a pretty good example of what to do when you're adapting something that exists in a different medium. You know, different mediums have different ways to hit the experience, right? And that what they did is they took what happened in the game, they made it part of the story, but they presented it in a way that made it the most impactful it could be in the medium of television. And I think that's incredibly well done. I tip my hat to everybody who did it. Just like that, yeah. So yeah, that's my number three is Joel's Rampage.
Mine was the introduction of Anna and Ellie's origin story. I really like that they gave us that bit of information, you know, telling us why or how Ellie became immune, because it's never alluded to in the game. And to have Ashley Johnson play Ellie's mom is just such a dope thing to do, right? And I'd been calling it all season. I'd read that she was going to be in it, and I was like, they're going to put her at the beginning of episode 9 because the show is supposed to start, you know, with her birth and end with Ellie's potential death. So I think that, you know, obviously Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann are, you know, experts in their craft, but they really just killed it. And she did a great job too. So
Joel
and
the knife too.
And the knife. I like knowing where the knife came from, because it is such a huge piece of Ellie's personality. I got it. That'd be cool, right? Can you edit that in? Me like putting in a knife? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does.
That's what it sounds like.
Get CGI.
Put him in After Effects. Yeah. And,
it's just like a shitty like clip art that just kind of floats around your hand.
Just in case.
Whoa, do a knife trick, Jimmy.
Whoa. My number three is the discussion between Ellie and Joel, however brief. With the wide shot of the giraffes, you know, with the good CGI, but we're in her, she tells him, we have to finish this, right? Like, this all can't be for nothing. It's my choice. And then I'll follow you wherever. And I think it's such an important moment that serves what it's supposed to be, which is like, again, like we said earlier, the rejuvenation of Ellie after all that she's been through with that piece of shit, David. That's my David. Number three. And, Steve, you're number two.
My number two is just Ashley Johnson, period. The whole scene with Anna in the very beginning of the flashback was so amazing. Like you said, Jimmy, just seeing Ashley Johnson being able to like be in this show and literally give birth to a character that she birthed into the world, essentially. Yeah. And she crushed that role too, because like, I'm not super familiar with Ashley Johnson's on-screen stuff. I know she was in, what's that show?
Like Growing Pains?
Growing Pains. I never watched Growing Pains. I know she was the one girl that liked Captain America and the Avengers.
Excuse me.
You know, in the scene when the Chitauri are like destroying New York and there's that one girl that Captain America saves, she's like a waitress, and then they interview her later. It's like, Captain America's great. That's literally the only thing I'm familiar with.
That is her, isn't it?
Yeah. I was looking forward to seeing her like in a live action role and she just crushed it. Like just that shot, that close up shot of her holding the baby and they're looking at each other smiling. And then she's like, you fucking tell him, Ellie, like, oh man.
Yeah.
That was just the cherry on top of this whole episode. I loved it.
The ice on top.
It was the ice on top of this snow cone. So it was most of the snow cone.
More snow cone. Jimmy.
My number two was the draft scene. I just really liked it. I'm glad that they put it into the game, no matter how bad the CGI was. I loved it. I liked the callback that I had talked about earlier. It's just such a nice moment between these people at the end of a long journey, right? And to see Ellie kind of come back to life after she had been through something so dramatic, like hacking David to pieces. I just really like that whole part.
My number two is Joel's rampage, as Steve so eloquently put it. My number one that we're about to get to is the only thing I actually wrote down, because I knew that without a doubt. And then everything else, I was like, oh, wow, there's so much good, though. Like, but I do have to say, it sounds weird to say because it's a terrible thing to watch, right? This like wanton murder of innocence. But I was so relieved that they weren't going to pull back from a huge part of the swing for the punch that this story is supposed to have. And like, again, I think it was a chef's kiss decision to not make it a cool action scene. They made it terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
But that's my number two. Steve, your favorite moment of what is sure to be maybe even the dippity top best show of the year.
Oh, wow.
Probably. What could beat it?
I don't know.
Season 3 of Ted Lasso is coming in hot on its heels.
Season 3 of Picard supposedly got. It's not going to be that. So my number one, I assumed that if they did this show even, like, I don't know, 70% right.
Mm-hmm. 70?
70% right. I kind of assumed this would be my favorite moment from the last episode, because it's one of my, like, this moment is just locked into my brain as like the perfect ending to almost anything I've ever watched, played, read. It hit me so hard, and I was so happy that in the TV show they nailed it just as well. And that is literally just the long take on Bella Ramsey's face as she considers what Joel just said to her. Gustavo's music is winding up. It's kind of like you said, it's pulling up a punch, right? And then she just goes, okay. Like, she's taking his word at face value. Bam! Cut to black. Music hits. That
blong, blong, blank, blong.
Gustavo, everybody. I think I mentioned early in the episode when I first played the game, and that it cuts to black and that music hits. Oh, I just lost it. I was just like weeping. Just like that was just
like a bitch.
Yes. It took me by surprise, and I think I might have just played that final scene between the two of them in the game maybe like 100 times over the years, because sometimes I'll be like, what's a good ending? Oh, that one. Now I'm sad. But I think they perfectly, like, just that last shot was just chef's kiss. Perfect. I loved it so much.
My number one was Joel's rampage. I've played this game so many times, and 60% of the time that part gets me every time, right? I absolutely
70% of the time it works every time. Yeah.
Joel, I've never played a game that makes, you know, the protagonist the antagonist, right? At the end of the game, it completely ends on a lie. And you just don't know how to feel, right? Like, obviously it's a game, but the show really did a very good job of making you feel every moment of that rampage. Just that cold-blooded, I'm going to do anything to save this girl. Part of Joel that we haven't seen. Right. So I think the chef's kiss, right? For that part of the show.
So many kisses.
We're the Lord of Kisses as a group now. This chef is the Lord of Kisses.
Mm. We're all the Lord of Kisses.
I'm going to have to get a restraining order on the chef.
The real adventure was the kisses we made along the way.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was my favorite part of the show. And I'm so glad once that started, I was like, all right, they're going to do it. I'm pretty sure as soon as the show ended, I was like, God damn, they fucking killed it.
So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Well done.
What's your number one?
My number one moment is Ashley Johnson giving birth to Ellie as Anna.
My dude.
I was floored by that opening scene. I'm going to do my best not to cry again. I just, like I said before, like I think it was that the newness of it, right? That allowed me to take all the power from it, right? Because I've already experienced, like, I know how this show is going to end. And so that takes some of the punch away, right? It puts some gloves on the show's ability to hurt me. Yeah. But I didn't know anything about what was going on here. And you know, I had my daughter so recently, like all of that stuff was just flooding into my own. And they went there. Like that baby, that looked real as shit.
That was a real baby. That was a whole baby.
I mean, I'm sure it was, but like they're not allowed to use a baby young enough typically to really look like a newborn, you know? So I don't know how young that baby is or what's going on there or if it's real, but oh my God, it looks
your outbreak
like a fresh baby. Way better than the giraffe. And and just an incredible scene. I mean, so emotionally destroying. Yes, that's my number one. I know that's kind of weird because so much good shit happens after that. But I just, that hit me like a ton of bricks, like one of Ellie's bricks
that she from throws. The game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's the top three. You forced it out of me. You gamified this art. Now let's talk about something serious. Bullets and pills.
Pills, baby.
Like Steve, you said it at the beginning. I don't know what the fucking point of this is. It's almost shot for shot the game. But there's a couple things in particular we could pull out, I suppose.
Yeah.
Steve, start us off.
Well, the obvious one is Ashley Johnson's Ellie. We talked about that a bunch.
What?
Marlene, played by Meryl Dandridge, played her in the game. But
this was also co-written by Neil Druckmann, the same guy who wrote the game.
You fucking shut your mouth.
Shut your whore mouth.
Same title.
Yeah, I guess I could start with, you know, the whole, when it cuts back to Ellie after her birth scene, it's kind of, you know, shot like blurry. You can kind of hear Joel in the background, and then they're on the highway and there's an RV there. That's literally where the game picks up after the David sequence is boom right there. She's actually looking at a sign of a deer, and
oh yeah,
to kind of say like, because the deer is what kind of leads into the whole David thing. So this in the game, she sees this sign of the deer, and that kind of brings back this PTSD that she has, and that's why she's in this kind of, you know, thousand yard stare type mood at that point in the game. And then the RV's there. That's literally where you pick up. That's like the first thing you can, like, yeah. Is there stuff in here? Cool. Scissors, tape, water bottle. Dope. No boggle though.
Bomb.
But yeah, there's that.
I had the ladder, the boosting her up to get to the ladder. I mean, that happens a million times in the game. It's funny that they put it in here.
And even the fact that the ladder falls, that's for the part where the ladder falls too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Do you have one?
The guitar.
Ooh, the mention of the guitar.
I think it's a huge, it's a huge aspect of the game. I played it many times. Tremendous amount of trophies.
Platinum.
It's a huge part of the game, and you know, we haven't really explored it. And it's a big part of the second game, I think. We can safely say that. Like,
yeah, the guitar is huge.
And so they threw it in there. I think it was a really good nod.
Oh, man. I want to talk about that ending, too.
It's tough. Steve, you got anything else you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, Ellie's wearing classic Ellie outfit. Both of them are wearing the same outfits they wear during this section of the game. Jimmy?
I think the only other one other than, I mean, we talked about it the entire fucking episode was the game, but the line where he says, I don't have time for this, when he shoots that guy in the leg in the first two guys, and he's like, where's she at? And he doesn't say anything. He's like, I ain't got time for this. Mm-hmm. That's when you know it's like, oh shit, it's on.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the game, he's just being escorted by the one guy, and he turns the tables on him, and he says, where's the girl? Dude says, fuck you.
He says, fuck you.
I don't have time for this. And then he shoots him in the gut, and he's like, want to try that again? And then
the guy's shit. Like,
oh, she's a pediatrics, and then he kills him.
Yeah.
Like, nice. It's really brutal.
Yep. The AR, the assault rifle.
Yeah, they made a big point of like, hey,
they lingered on that
gun you get at the end of the game.
Yeah,
here it is.
He had that bullshit ass like AK lookalike.
Yeah, whatever that AK-74 U or something.
Yeah, and then he's like AR, and the violin picks up.
Because at this point, it's the very last section of the game, and you don't have any kind of automatic weapons, anything like this, and they give it to you like, yeah, have fun for the last little bit of the game.
Kill all these fools.
So it's kind of, I think that. That was neat. They did that on purpose. That's it. I'm cashed.
I'm cashed out too.
Yeah, like literally the whole like thing with the giraffe, the section of them at the medical camp, minus the backstory with him trying to commit suicide. Even him being knocked out with a rifle butt. It happens a little differently in the game, but that's how they knock the fireflies knock him out. In the game, you and Ellie end up in a sewer system, and there's like infected down there, and you have to
fight two bloaters.
Fight. It's like a really hard section of the game, and then you
took me like seven tries. I was mad.
She can't swim, so it ends with like her being like pulled into the current, and Joel saves her, and they swim out from whatever.
She pull him out?
He pulls her out because she's drowned.
Oh, yeah, true.
And he pulls her out, and he's giving her CPR, and that's when the fireflies sneak up on him, and they're like, hands up, and he's like, she's not breathing. Like, please let me keep giving her CPR. Like, and then they rifle butt him before he can finish resuscitating.
The old butt stock.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, the convo with Marlene, the whole, like, and literally, like, it's like shot for shot at the end. So, like, the whole thing is a giant, there's a lot of bullets that went into people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pills.
One giant pill for everybody to share.
Joel's a big pill. Yeah. You know what I mean? What a pill. What a Joel Miller.
Now, I'm curious where this is going to go. Our outbreak performance, our individually voted best performance of the episode, an impossible task. Jimmy, how are you going to cap off on the entire season of our coverage?
I really wanted to give it to Ashley Johnson just because she did a really good job in a very short amount of time. But I got to give it to Pedro Pascal. I think this episode, you see a different side of Joel. That like, hey, like me, dad, Joel, that you don't really get to see. Very little bit in the beginning of the first episode you see it. But and then just the emotion when he's talking to Ellie about, it wasn't that made me do it. You know what I mean? Talking about, meeting her has changed his life, made him get over the Sarah thing or at least deal with it.
That whole Sarah thing.
Yeah, that... And then the whole end, just I think he absolutely murdered it. No pun intended. I got to give it to Pedro Pascal. I was so terrified years ago when I heard that he was going to play Joel, right? Because my image of Joel was like this super country, big, rednecky kind of guy, right? And I was like,
yeah, that's who he is in the game.
I barely knew who Pedro Pascal was. And it was almost like the Heath Ledger moment when I first heard Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker. I was like, oh, God. And then when I saw it, I was floored. So I have to give it to Pedro.
Have to.
Yeah, have to.
Got him. Steve.
I did give mine to Ashley Johnson just because I was just, I think I talked about it earlier. Like, I was so taken aback by how good she was. Like, why is she not in more things? Because she was amazing in just a small part. She did so much with so little screen time. And it was just, I also love the visual kind of metaphor of like an Ellie passing the torch to another Ellie, like here's your knife, giving birth and all that. And I just loved seeing her in this role. And it made me all warm and fuzzy. And I could give it to Pedro. I could give it to Bella Ramsey. They're both amazing in this.
Even Merle Dandridge.
Dandridge was incredible in this. I think, hot take, if Ashley Johnson wasn't in this, like if that whole scene wasn't, I might still give it to Merle Dandridge because even she like surprised me. And I I love Pedro and I love Bella Ramsey. They're perfect in this, but I don't think this episode was even their best individual episodes. Like, mm-hmm. that's why I just Ashley Johnson surprised me so much. She was great, electrifying. Loved her in it.
Electrifying.
Jazz hands.
The most electrifying performance in all of The Last of Us Entertainment. Rudy Poo, candy asses.
I'm really glad you gave it to Pedro Pascal. I had that written down for a lot of the runtime of this podcast. But then when I started talking about the Ashley Johnson scene,
yeah,
I had to go back and give it to her. So, but I'm glad you said that because we got to cap it off throwing out the man, the myth, the legend. I mean, he's taking over the world. He's in the top two biggest shows out right now at the same time. It's wild. Ashley Johnson, I agree. I guess she's probably, my guess is she doesn't want to. Like, she's probably super rich from Last of Us. She's doing good.
I hope she's super rich
from Growing Pains.
Yeah, she's making that Growing Pains money.
That's the only thing I can surmise because she's stunning in this episode. I'm so happy they did such a good job and it's such a great show. Mm-hmm. You know, because it would have been shitty if it wasn't.
Yeah, I was terrified.
It'd been awful if we picked it and then like two episodes in, we're like, ugh, this is terrible. We got to do six more.
Every episode was great, you know?
Yeah.
And people got so mad at us. I think this is funny. Our listeners are great. I just want to say, I think that I'm, in general, me personally, so positive about almost everything that when I have the slightest fucking criticism, people lose their minds. They're like, oh, you hated it? That sucks. I'm like, no, I just had some notes. I had notes, me personally, but fuck me. I'm not even who am I? Who cares? Like, but I think it's always unfortunate when all three of us have a significant amount of notes because it sounds like we're shitting on something, right? but I thought we did an even-handed job with episode 8 of talking about things we loved and things we didn't. And
yeah, if you listen to that episode, it's definitely like
a lot of the emails we got.
This, but like, oh, this was great.
Most of the people hadn't even seen the show yet, like finished our show yet.
Yeah, they had listened to our opening statements and just started emailing us like,
I will find your families.
And again, we love the feedback and we love the interactions with our audience. But I just think that that's something that, because that happened with Rings of Power as well.
Yeah.
My main goal is to just be honest. You know, I try to choose. But if you don't know about if you haven't like picked up on this, here's a hint. I purposely pick shows that I either think I love or know I love, because that's what's fun to talk about. Yeah, right. To be passionate about something. Every now and then we pick something where I think I'll love it and I sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just do the first four episodes of a season or whatever, but anyway, I just hope that you guys know that about us and give us the benefit of the doubt, you know, get to the end of the episode. Always going to agree. Yeah, 100%. But it's just enough. Like, there's some people that are good people that have been fans for a long time. And a lot of people were really, sweet about it and just like, I disagree, which is great.
Like, yeah.
Do that for sure. It's not going to be the last time you disagree with me because I'm dumb as shit.
Well, even in that very episode, someone had just written in like saying, that's my favorite episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, read it. Cause I knew that we were a little kind of like, we had notes. So I wanted to hear from someone and why they loved it so much because they had a completely different perspective we did. And that's the great thing about podcasting and the Discord and the emails that people send us in. Cause my favorite thing in the world is to sit in front of people and talk about nerd shit, get different perspectives. So I love hearing that people love that episode so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I disagree with almost all of my biggest idols in film criticism frequently. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I check my Letterboxd app and it's like, you know, David Ayer, like 2.5 stars on a movie. I just gave 5 to him. You know, but I like to read his prose. And when I read why, I'm like, huh. And it might give me a different way of looking at things, but it's just nice. It's nice. But I mean, I love this show. This was such a good ending to a great show.
But that's not all, Chris.
But wait, there's more.
But wait.
Scream quote.
No, so next week, Jimmy's going to come back and we are going to do a Last of Us
mailbag.
That's right. You can write in. We're going to read some of the emails that we've already received, but you can also send more either on email, Discord, or Patreon, and we will curate them. We'll probably
Patreonize me.
We might do like, I haven't talked to you about this, Chris, on air, or Jimmy. I haven't talked to you guys about this, but I'm thinking maybe we have like, it's one episode, but like the first half of it is like no spoilers at all for the quote unquote season 2. Like, hey, if you've never if you don't know what that is, what do you think is going to happen? What are your questions? And then maybe we can transition like, okay, get out of here right now. For anyone who never played part two, get out, because we're going to talk about what we think we're going to see. And that could be like the second half of the.
That might be fun. So if we get enough emails for people that have questions for predictions for season two.
Yeah. And if you don't want that at all, let us know too.
Yeah. Let us know.
This is always in flux what we do. We don't give a shit. Whatever you want, we'll do
No shits.
We care so much about what you guys want from us.
Yeah.
I'd rather say.
Yeah. That's the right way to say it. Saying like, we don't give a shit about this fucking podcast. That's not the right thing to say.
So write in to streamingthingspod@gmail.com with your questions, concerns, and points of view so that we can share them on the air for our giant season one wrap up mailbag for The Last of Us season one. Harp.
But also, like we said at the top of the show, this is the last week you can get the Last of Us specific merch on the Streaming Things merch store.
A Tony Time shirt.
You
want to look? Yeah, just for anybody that really wants one of those shirts, we just want to let you know. Hurry up!
Yeah, hurry up! This is literally the last week, and then we go Joel in the hospital and murder them all. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, we
not the printing company, the shirts.
Oh yeah. Take two. After the end of this week, you can't get them anymore. So if you want a Pills Baby, you want a Tony Time.
The last of them.
It is.
Oh.
at least you got that, not the.
I kind of would prefer that.
I deserve that. Thank you guys so much for joining on this journey with us. Stick around for the Yellow Jacket Season 2 coverage. And also be aware, we're going to be covering all kinds of seemingly random movies and documentaries and TV shows from patrons have demanded, because they paid money that we need to watch those. They've been backed up in the queue for months. So we're going to start knocking those out now that we're going to have a little bit of extra time.
And that's when season two of Yellow Jackets begins.
Because we'll
only have one episode of Yellow Jackets a week. And so that frees up two more episodes a week.
Yeah. So
we can knock through some of these.
End of March through April and May, we're going to knock out a ton of Patreon content.
And there's some winners. And
it's all going to be on the main feed, but it's just movies and stuff voted on by patrons.
Yeah. And there's some winners. We got like Train to Busan. We got
Matrix, I think.
I think one
Kung
of the
Fu
Matrix
Hustle.
Not Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, I know.
There's a Night at the Opera, I think. There's Tombstone is on there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Grind. I don't know if you know the movie Grind is on there.
Classic. That's Jake's.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There's a lot of good stuff.
Probably Jake's.
No, The Grind? That's Will's.
Is it Grind? Oh, Jake would love Will.
Yeah.
They should hang out.
Will chose Grind. And Will, we're going to grind for Will.
Soxy Will.
Grinder.
My pony. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the try before deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, old Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the Chocolate Pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis, Maha Axholtz, I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sunny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst. Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yopst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burick, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Ta Jala and Melissa Worcester. You know what old Tone used to shoot a a Worcester back in his day, or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Sniper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.